Hello, grandkids, and because my voice, that is Kevin's voice, is doing the introductions, you should know now that Chris Kalamita is on the other end of this fine little internet chat. How are you doing, Chris?
I am doing well, Kevin. How about yourself?
Pretty pumped to be going to the MLS Championship game on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So the crew is the Columbus Crew have made it to the finals because of poor attendance at non team sites because they used to have it in neutral locations, but evidently the crowd was so terrible. In the one city, Toronto, it ended up being that they decided to have it on someone's home turf to guarantee a sold-out stadium.
That sounds like a good idea, to me.
So that was a nice little change in fortune because the last time the Crew won the championship. The championship game actually was in Los Angeles. And I remember my buddy went and he got his picture taken with the cup after they won it. The look of giddiness on his face is still hilarious. I can picture it in my head. So yeah, looking forward to that a whole lot. And
All right, good.
that will help me look past what was really one of the worst Raws in a while.
Really? I thought last week's show was way worse. Not that this week's show was any good, but I thought last week was just was an abomination.
I don't know. Maybe they're running neck and neck.
I was perfectly actually okay with the show until the last hour. Ugh. Just everything wrong. Sheamus, Reigns gets another championship match and fails. The League of Nations, that debacle with Charlotte and Becky, that match, that main event match, so stupid. Even Virgil called it stupid on Twitter. Oh, just a terrible last hour. I thought the first 2 hours were anything great or anything, but oh, that last hour really just took a huge.
Yeah, like I know that their rating has been going down in that third hour, but honestly, it has been some of the more compelling events to in my opinion are held in that hour. And yeah, maybe that's why it's stuck in my memory is so terrible is that I always remember that this was the big angles. And they stunk up the joint.
Yeah, I mean, they really, they just should have put the damn belt on Roman Reigns. I bet, just fix the problem. Well, maybe that creates a whole new problem, but it's a better problem to have than world champion Sheamus with his band of merry men. This is bad.
Yeah, it's kind of weird having guys that are that well established as a stable. There's usually some like underling or at least someone that's usually younger in the group. I don't know. It just doesn't strike me as I understand the idea. I think it's terrible to use Woodrow Wilson's idea in wrestling and call it the League of Nations.
They were going in something of a, in the mid-card, mind you, in the direction of Sheamus, Barrett, and Rusev as a European group before Rusev got injured. But Del Rio just doesn't fit in the group at all. I mean, it's just his current angle, his current character just does not fit into this. First of all, he's not European. Second of all, he's supposed to be in his own nation. All did not mention that, you know, Mex America at all. So I guess that, you know, thankfully that idea has been dropped. But I don't think any new idea is. None of it made sense. You know, already early in the show, Del Rio was with Zeb feuding with Jack Swagger, and Rusev was back with Lana, and then an hour later, they've joined this stable, and their managers / lovers were nowhere to be seen. I don't understand. You know, are Lana and Zeb, you know, going to be co-managing this group, or are they not going to be involved? Or is it going to be like Rusev and Del Rio are living two different lives, and, you know, within this show? I just don't get it at all.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing was, I guess I just didn't think of, I definitely thought, I'm like, hold on, where's Zeb? And I did not think about Lana being missing also in that situation.
Yeah, and Zeb doesn't fit in that situation at all, because he doesn't like any of those countries that that any of those other wrestlers come from. He thought he was supposed to like Mexico, but...
Again, maybe that's why this one left more of a bad taste in my mouth. Like, that, yeah, the group just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. They did nothing to protect any of these guys, which is what made... I haven't been on in weeks, so I didn't get to have the big talk with you about the Sheamus victory, but it's just... None of these protected. Barrett is in a main event fact after just being jobbed. Rusev needs to be rebuilt badly, but this isn't the way to do it. And Del Rio desperately needs to kickstart once again. This isn't the way to do it. And it worries me is, well, two things worry. The fact that they've just put this group together and I guess they need to be established. And there is something on WWE.com about how Sheamus has now had his nameplate and his Celtic Cross side plates put on the WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt, meaning I don't think he's just losing it in 2 weeks either.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect them to do that either, honestly.
Meaning Roman Reigns fails again.
Yeah, and I guess I'm hoping that they have an excuse, but I mean, he keeps on having an excuse, and it's just, it's not helping anybody. Like, and that's the other thing, like, they're just not doing themselves any favors. Like, they may see this as, like, more, or, like, he needs more seasoning or something like that, but... They need a star far more than somebody needs seasoning.
Right, no. They keep waiting for the right time, and it's never going to be the right time. Just do it. It's to the point where just do it. And if they don't do it at TLC, I don't know if he can hold on to WrestleMania. If he goes into the Royal Rumble and it's obvious that he's going to win it again, the crowd reaction is going to be just as brutal as it was last year. It's just going to be just as brutal on him as he's challenging for the championship at WrestleMania again. It's just do it. Plus, somewhere in here, he's got to have a singles match with Triple H somewhere in here too, so I have no clue when they can fit that in. I guess maybe in February, it's possible. Last year, Jeremy was just reaming me and Shahid out about paying big money to go see WrestleMania because television TV was really bad last year. But I was like, it's a WrestleMania. It's going to be a good show. Of course it's going to be a good show. And it was. This year, I'm right now saying I'm glad I'm not putting up the money to go see it. I'm glad I'm not traveling. I have serious concerns about the quality of this year's WrestleMania. It's not only do you have all this bad TV and bad decision making, a sizable chunk of the workhorses on this roster are going to be on the shelf. So I have my concerns to whether they can have, especially in that stadium, to live up to the hype. I have serious concerns.
Really, for the most part, this whole year, the writing's been kind of bad. Because I still feel like the build-up to WrestleMania itself was really terrible. And then, like you said, the event was great. I can't say I've gone back to watch it, but I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. So, it seemed like a good event to me.
Right. It was a great event, yeah, but I don't know, there's something about just the trajectory of this company right now. It just doesn't look good about the future, especially if Sheamus does retain. And they at least go all the way to the Royal Rumble with Sheamus as the champion. Ugh.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't mind. I was sitting there thinking to myself that of all people that I wouldn't mind going corporate, it would be Sheamus, honestly, to get rid of the stupid mohawk and the bad beard dreads. I would welcome such an update. So that was kind of the one funny thing about him wearing a suit on Monday. That got me to thinking, I'm like, dude, just really, just go for the makeover. It would really help out.
Yeah, the new look does him no favors at all. He's got the stench of failure all over him. They did nothing to build him up for this. I mean, he cashed in Seth's jobs, including to Randy Orton that very night, but it was. Seth is just so much better than Sheamus in every way, in every conceivable way, that it's different. Seth could. And there are issues with Seth, not being portrayed strong enough during his title reign. But his talent could largely overcome them when the time came. Sheamus does not have that.
Yeah, well, I think that Sheamus is a good wrestler. He is not nearly as good as Seth Rollins is. It helps when he's in a big kind of battle match. I've liked all of his matches with Cesaro, and there's been a hoop ton of them recently. So there are some situations that I think he really shines. I don't think he's as versatile. That's what I might have wanted to go for, is Seth Rollins is, as far as
right,
in-ring work goes.
No, not in the least, no. But, it's just not working. What they're doing right now is just not working, and what worries me is, I think they thought that the League of Nations was their answer. That was the big shakeup they were. They thought that this show needed.
Yeah, I mean, considering it was featured when it was featured, you know, because they were they were featured at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, and then the end of the show, along with New Day, who was featured three times.
Or if you count the WWE Shop commercial.
Oh. I have got to admit, I was just not caring at that point. And I did not listen to their commercial.
Right, but oh, there's definitely getting to be a point, a saturation point with New Day. And it was definitely hit last night. You can tell us. To, I guess, sort of to his credit, does apparently like New Day. He wants them, you know, going all out, you know, wet with the wackiness, you know, just going totally over the top, you know, multiple times in a show, and that way, you know, he has faith in them. But man, it's just going to be overkill.
Yeah, limiting the number of times they do stuff like that helps to make it more wacky. When you do it multiple times in a show, it ceases to have some of that wacky quality to it, even if it's wacky.
Right. They really didn't need to be on commentary during that Usos Lucha Dragons tag match. They could have just run in without spending the whole match doing their ultra dorky white announcer voices.
Yeah, it really could have been handled without them. And also, everybody knows that when champions attack, it becomes a three-way match. Come on now, people. If you're students of the game, then you have watched past Raws and past wrestling, and you've seen that every time that a champion does that, they put themselves in a three-way match.
By George, you figured it out.
So, you know, this is not a this is not really a secret, and for some reason New Day was not let in on that.
Right? No.
They need a little more unicorn power to figure that out. Yeah. So it's not good when one of your better acts is starting to wear on the people that helped to get them over. Honestly.
No, it's not at all. They could definitely be scaled in the and you know. Let them have I don't see them as a main event actor. It's now the main event scene is getting almost gives me a little bit too cluttered. They don't need to be in there. Now, if say for example they wanted to say make Big E the champion instead of Sheamus, I would have been for that. I think that would have been one of the better options, but they didn't do that. Sheamus is the world champion.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that.
I have to keep saying it in order to believe it myself.
Yeah, it is definitely the same old thing. Like I said, I just think a lot of his problems to me have been of the writing variety since he came back. He's just, like you said, he's been portrayed poorly the whole time. And really, Wade Barrett has been even worse. And he's bounced around. He was just partners with Stardust not that long ago. And, I mean, I guess it makes sense because him and Sheamus were hanging out, but Wow. I mean, he's just not good right now either. Like, and I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, like you said, Rusev needs rebuilt. Like, no one in that group is in a good spot.
Similar weaknesses. So it's not like there's, there's anyone's strength could be covering up for anyone's weaknesses. They're all in this weird, limbo of the of their characters and just beaten down and done. Rusev never should have been started doing the amount of job they did. I don't care how unhappy they. And whatever other, BS backstage drama. Rusev never should have started, taking those kinds of losses. They never should have broken up. Barrett's, like, the guy has just been jerked around so much in the last 5 years. I'm not even sure what you can do with him at this point.
Yeah, he's old. He's old without being old.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a never was really. Like it was all potential with him.
Right. And it's not entirely his fault. It may not even be half his fault. They screw with him so many times. And then there's Del Rio, who has yet to find himself. They don't they obviously him where it is they're paying him, some people believe it's a hell of a lot of money, but they had no real ideas for him, and he's paying the price for that. He's wrestling Jack Swagger to silence, another guy who just been beat down and beat down and beat down until he needs absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just people start to recognize that you're just. I mean, he just gets brought back for this type of feud.
Yeah, and he'll be back on Superstars after TLC. It's not that he's bad. He can be good when given the chance, but for some reason they always give up on him and then beat him down for months and months and decide to start pushing. That just doesn't happen. At least without a complete reinvention, which he actually already went through a couple of years back, almost 3 years ago now, when they brought his dad in the first place. But they decided to stop going with him. Then they brought him kind of back. Then, okay, kind of his trajectory. The Real Americans were a fine tag team match with him and Cesaro, and then kind of bounced around a little bit. Gained new life with the feud with Rusev when they turned him into that baby face. And then after that, and he was just, after months and months and months of being Rusev's whipping boy, I mean, there was nothing left.
Yeah, that's a
And there's your
pretty.
history, Jack Swagger.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good summation of what that guy's been put through. And I mean, I feel like a lot of the guys, like, yeah, they're. I don't think Swagger was going to live up to the initial potential of him being a world champion, or at least in that stratosphere on a regular basis. But you know, it's another one of those situations where it's just like the guy can do more for you than what you're doing. He doesn't need to be a main event guy to be a useful guy, and he's just not useful now because of all of what you chronicled and more.
Right, yeah, it's just, I just think that he's one of those guys who's just, right now, unless they can reinvent him again, that there's just nothing to him.
Yeah, and to me, the scary thing is that "We the People" was one of the louder chants of the evening.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. It was almost as loud as chants for ECW. Let's talk about the positives of Raw. The return of Tommy Dreamer.
Okay, so this might be another exhibit of why I hated this show so much. I saw a tweet from Shahid mentioning that Tommy Dreamer is on the show, and I'm just like, this isn't good news. Because the last time I saw him in TNA, he did not look good in the ring. Like, I enjoyed his work in the past, but he just paid too big of a price on his body for what they were doing in ECW.
Injuries dating back to the late 90s. I remember the storyline as they were going on to TNN in 1999. The storyline was Tommy Dreamer has a career-threatening back injury, but he continues to fight through it. That was 16 years ago. And he's still out there. And it's, I mean, got a nice reaction. I get these ECW reunions done sparingly. They'll always gain some sort of reaction. So they were in Pittsburgh, which was a pretty, big ECW city. So I guess if you're going to, although it looks like they're going to keep him around at least through TLC. All right, I mean, I guess if they're just going to have a brawl over tables match, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, I guess I would not mind someone other than Tommy Dreamer getting that spot. I guess I don't know who to consider, honestly, that would kind of fit their ideals. Even I'm trying to think if anyone that they could bring up would fit in with them.
Rhino? I think Rhino will be better than Dreamer.
Oh, I could completely handle Rhino. I like Rhino.
I do too. I like him personally. I've seen him on the indie shows for years, the last couple of years. He's a really nice guy. Still worked really hard, in good shape. He's had a pretty decent run down in NXT. I think he could use another shot. Definitely Dreamer.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot about the obvious answer. Well, probably because I have not watched NXT since the last takeover.
He actually hasn't been seen on NXT since the last take. Well, actually, no, that's not right. No. He's had one or two matches, but not in a while.
Gotcha.
Right. I guess the weirdest thing with that segment was to a table. They put the leader to a table already. So now we still need to have a match.
I guess we're supposed to forget about that because it was a cheap shot or something.
Yeah, I mean, he just basically sat through the table. It wasn't anything really dramatic. I'm pretty sure the Wyatts are actually going to end up winning this match because they need to be rebuilt after being destroyed by Undertaker and Kane. So, I'm pretty sure that the oh my God, all those D's, those things are no longer a priority. I think that was made clear when they lost playing the New Day at Hell in a Cell, and then ended up on the pre-show at Survivor Series. So this is just something to get the Wyatts back as killers.
Yeah, and I mean it's a good spot for them to be in. I mean, if you're not gonna have them be champion, that's what they're gonna have to do. Things of that kind of nature.
Right.
because there are kind of limited uses for them. I mean, I know the Usos came back, and they could have a match with them. One with the Lucha Dragons would be fine, but they seem to have their own little stories going on at the current moment anyway.
Right.
I guess if you want to talk about a positive, I suppose that's a positive. I still don't get pushing the Lucha Dragons against other teams for the second straight time. Because the Usos, I feel like they came back in pretty easy and they have a pretty simple gimmick.
Yeah, I don't think that this match really doesn't really need the Lucha Dragons. I think that it should just be down to the Usos and the New Day. I think they could have a good series of matches. There could be good chemistry there. Not that the Usos don't for their but characters could make well, especially you know you are going to attach it to the story of you know the main event angle with Roman Reigns and Sheamus.
Right.
The Lucha Dragons just kind of muddies those waters. Although with them, the three of those teams in a triple threat, it'll be a good match.
Yeah, I mean it should be an entertaining match. I guess I feel bad for them. It seems like they. I think they deserve their own feud, I guess, with New Day at some point. Instead of, they got it kind of against the primetime players in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they got it together, which was kind of weird. And they kind of got bumped there. And at least this time they're in the match, but... Yeah, it just seems like a tough spot to be in to even try to establish your identity, which they haven't done at all on their time on WWE TV.
Right.
They're just the lucha, lucha, lucha. I guess as long as you have an arm movement these days, the WWE is happy.
Yeah. You gotta get those chants, gotta get those catchphrases over, gotta sell those t-shirts. That's the name of the game.
Yep. Oh. So, to get back to one of the other bad points of the show. the ladies. Namely... Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige. I just don't understand the thinking and the logic behind doing this. After establishing Charlotte as having taken the high road for the past month plus. It just doesn't make any sense.
None of it makes any sense at all. I don't understand. I don't get the character motivations here. Becky Lynch is being made to look like a fool. Charlotte's being made to look like a hypocrite. And meanwhile, Paige tells it like it is, says what she's going to do, and then goes out there and does it.
And then gets the gloat. Then gets the gloat that she's right.
Yeah, exactly. Why is she the heel?
I don't know. They've had a tough time portraying her as the heel, really, in all honesty. But Because she keeps on reacting to the crowd like they're not being positive, but they're cheering for her. And it's just like, well, you shut up. And it's just like, and the crowd goes wild. And it's just like, the opposite is happening here, guys. Like, you're hearing the same thing I am, right?
They've got their script and they're going to follow it.
Yeah, so the ladies, yet again, really through no fault of their own, just, like, they are still continuing to get more TV time. Because there was another women's match earlier in the evening, which, well, while it had its downsides, I think...
How do they even do that? I don't know. I don't even know. It was the most annoying sound in the world. I'm glad I can't do it. And it's that damn instant promo.
Oh. You know what? I might have fast-forwarded through that. So, they did... Team Bad did something annoying?
They did... It was really, really annoying. It was really, really bad. It was, you know... It was one of those things that if... You know, these girls... who I'm sure are way better, more in tune with how the kids are in these days than the you know, middle-aged white men in the writer's room. If they had any stroke at all, and you know anyone would have possibly listened to them, they could go and say, no one talks like this. But everyone's walking on eggshells there. No one can say anything. The show is so rigidly scripted. If you speak up and you're not one of the very, very, very chosen few, you have no say in what your character's supposed to say, how they're supposed to act. It was just really bad.
Well, I guess I thought at least I understand. Well, it was bad that they're trying to, like, in the Becky Charlotte Paige storyline, they're pushing groups suck. But then in this one, they're like, oh, great, groups are great. It's just like, I'm flabbergasted here, guys. Like, you've really, like, you've got two different messages going on and you don't realize it, I guess? Like, you don't realize that there's a dichotomy going on here?
Right.
But I suppose they've always wanted to have the Bellas be baby faces. And having Team Bad act the way they are, picking on the two. You know, it does help establish them as the heels in this group. So there's at least something of a clarity going into this.
This matchup. I guess there was. I missed the Team Bella, you know, babyface turns, especially considering the fact that they haven't been on TV in weeks and weeks.
Well, yeah, they at least did address Nikki being out too, but you know, that's one of those things that with the guys, it would have been acknowledged before now. Like, they wouldn't just have a big star. Like, no matter what I thought of the quality of Nikki's matches, they positioned her as a star for a good year plus.
Right.
So she should have been viewed that way, but when she goes out with an injury, like, nothing's said at all. You know, I just feel like with one of the guys, they would have had a storyline to cover it up, or said something like they got injured at a house show, or, you know, just mentioning when they were out. But they don't have, the ladies don't have that kind of importance behind them at all.
I don't know if it's that. I think there are, there might be more to Nikki Bella's injury than they want, than they want out, or they really, you know, have any information on right now. So I don't know if I'd necessarily say that part, but at the very end, they could have said something a while ago as to why Team Bella, you know, just completely disappeared.
Yeah, especially since they were ruling the Divas division for so long. Yeah, you're doing a good job of pointing out that not just the last hour was terrible. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah. I didn't say it was good. I didn't say the rest of the show was good. I just said it wasn't as bad as that last hour.
And I guess there are a couple other things here to, and there's really only two points that we haven't gotten to, in my opinion, here. And one already involves Rusev, which we could really easily just not worry about. With his return with Lana. And then there's our good buddy Tyler Breeze.
Oh, this poor guy. Oh, he's just been... What can you say? They brought a guy up. They had nothing for him. He's lost more than he's won on TV just in the last month. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand why they even brought him up. I mean, for his sake, I hope that I hope the pay raise is substantial, because, you know, the quality of his work and his satisfaction, you know, from his work is going down and down and down and down. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand why you call that guy up. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, they did no vignette. Not hype him up. He just showed up one day with this, with Summer Rae, and started feuding with Dolph Ziggler, which was a decent spot to start off in, except he's now lost. He's lost at least three matches on TV now.
Yeah, and it's just this one to Ziggler, who, yeah, didn't need a win back at all. Like, he would have been just fine.
It was probably the best match on the show, but in the end, it didn't really mean anything. It wasn't a big win for Dolph. Dolph's gonna keep, on that same treadmill he's been on, and Breeze has been established as, as below that tier. So, I'm saying that the guy has made a potential, but whatever potential he has is really being mortgaged right now, and for no reason.
Yeah, and I guess you brought the idea up last night, because honestly, what else is there to say about that? Like, some of this stuff is so bad that you can only go so far with it. About the tie-in between NXT and WWE, did you have some other nugget of information or just a comparison to make? Like I said, I haven't really watched it.
It's just a comparison of having a past week's NXT having a show long storyline and everything built up to a crescendo and a big ending, and then this week's Raw, you know, you had this story with Roman Reigns. You know, they set the chessboard perfectly for Reigns to score the big win and to do it, you know, on Raw. You know, which you can make the argument more people watching, and really set him off on a big win, and instead it's just, you know, he's failed again. This mid card faction has possession of the championship, and it just, you know, it just, to me, it's just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, which is just all too common these days.
Right.
Well, we also did say, and I did get around to watching, well, let's say most of ROH. If there's anything that occurs with lockers behind them, I don't watch it. I feel like Adam Cole, as much as I like him, I did not listen to, like, that setup to me just yells high school gym. But they love to use that setting. And I don't get their infatuation with it.
I don't really have any issue with it at all, nor do I particularly, you know, get like it. Trying to think here. It's just, I mean, okay. I think you actually missed some good for Adam Cole. I mean, I almost chuckle sometimes. It's like they're giving him all this promo time on the show every week to add to his WWE demo reel. Because it is, he's fast becoming the best promo on the company because he gets so much promo time. He just, you know, they gave him, how many times during a show did they go back in that locker room, like, at least twice.
Yeah, he was on twice, and I feel like, oh no, he didn't have any mic time for the match. Or did he have some for the match?
No, he didn't end up having any mic time. But no, well, I think he was getting, you know, significant amount of mic time in backstage when they were still doing the Inside ROH segments with Mandy Leon. And now, while Adam Cole is not as enjoyable to look at, he is such more enjoyable to listen to than her ridiculously wooden delivery. So I'm glad that those segments have been dropped. But no, I really don't have. I enjoy Adam Cole's promo, so I kind of love the setting gets me.
Yeah, normally I do enjoy myself some Adam Cole. But I guess I just decided to lay off of those segments today. Really, I found myself, I know that they come here to Columbus somewhat often, and I actually found myself going, I wouldn't mind going this next time that they pop in here. Like, it's, they don't try to go too far out of the box. All their storylines, for the most, well, actually, that's part of the reason why I didn't watch the Adam Cole stuff. is that that is one of the few storylines to me that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right, yeah. And, and
like, he went way out of his way to screw over Kyle O'Reilly when he could have done it in a much simpler fashion. Basically had this, not basically, still had the same impact.
Yeah, I'm not a big O'Reilly fan. I was the guy when they were feuding years ago after their team broke up, and you know, I guess at the time I was just not a fan at all of Davey Richards and his fake MMA, fake MMA group that Kyle O'Reilly was a part of. It's just like,
right?
Oh, come on, stop. You go to a jiu-jitsu class maybe once or twice a week. Stop pretending like you're some kind of a badass, okay? You know, I got that. They had that kind of go away heat with me. So I guess I've never really let. Plus, there's that ridiculous, I mentioned before, that ridiculous promotional photo they shot of Adam Cole with his arms going in multiple weird directions that just look like a complete goof. And they still use that to this day. It's absolutely hideous picture of him. So I don't. I've just never been an O'Reilly fan. Although he's good. Him and Fish are together, and I'm sure him and Adam will have a good match. At Final Battle, but they're building up pretty well. It seems like the main event might be in danger. AJ Styles suffered a serious back injury in Japan. He's missing shows left and right over there. And this match is, less than 2 weeks away with Jay Lethal. So hopefully he'll be able to pull himself together to make that work. Because that would be disastrous for ROH. Because I did enjoy that the interview segment in the ring, the back and forth with Lethal and AJ. I thought that was very, very good.
Yeah, I've liked AJ Styles a lot since he's gone over to Japan. It just seems like he's added a new wrinkle or two. And, it's really helped me see him in a better light. Plus, it did help me just prove that TNA could never develop anybody or help them out in any fashion. Japan right. has enough structure to do that for someone like AJ Styles.
Right, yeah, it absolutely. Yeah, AJ's doing the best work of his career, without a doubt. Jay Lethal was very, very good himself. I think the key to the segment was they did not let Truth Martini talk very much, if at all. Martini is still the anchor, something of an anchor tied to Lethal, but he overcomes it most of the time.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I didn't think that they had him on TV enough for what they were claiming him to be. For the longest time. But recently, I feel like the last couple of months, there's been more of a concerted effort to get him on TV and get him mic time. And it always helps to have a couple of goons, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like ever since they got, and I can't, Don, because I know it's Donovan Dijak.
I think they actually replaced. Who's it? I don't know if you've had a tag team partner every time. I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, JD. Yeah. Is it Jay Diesel?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense though. Yes.
Yeah.
Dijak and Jay Diesel. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with the addition of Taylor Hendricks.
No.
That's just fine. but yeah, they could really used to get rid of Truth. But whatever, like you said, he was minimized. They did have a good segment. And I guess I just think that in general, like, they've exposed Lethal more with this whole Unified Champion thing. Because I still didn't think that they were behind it, really, even when they first started doing it.
Right. No, they are completely behind him. He's you know, really, really good. The match with Roderick Strong the week before was really, really good match. He's in a great groove right now. So I expect, not that this is a pay-per-view, I'm gonna order. I'll just come around and say that right now. but I could definitely see Jay Lethal and AJ Styles having a really good match to close out Ring of Honor's year.
Yeah, because are they still a Saturday night pay per view company?
Friday night pay per view company, which is just really just not a good night at all.
No. Yeah, that's just a bad time to do it. Friday or Saturday night, in my opinion, are terrible nights to do that. So, I guess I didn't know that about AJ Styles. But that really would put what looked to be a very good match between two guys who seem to be doing some of their best work at the current moment against each other.
Right. And, well, more guys to it, I think, are doing their best work in Ring of Honor, who I've kind of fallen in love with, are War Machine. I love these two. I thought the match, it was going to be a bit on the show in a little while, but the match they had with, of all people, Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser was a few weeks ago was just absolutely maybe the most fun match I've watched in a very long time.
I've really liked.
You love the.
Like, I kind of liked both of them by themselves for whatever reason. When they're put together, Hansen and Rowe, it makes them that much better. To me, it doesn't. I'm not quite sure why the total is, you know, less than half when you cut it in half. But
right, no. They are absolutely perfect to get together, and I think it's actually a shame that early in their tag team run, before they had it all together, they put them against the Briscoes in the Battle of the Beards, and I just like. They should have held off on that. you can always go back. You can only do it for the first time once.
Right. At least if they do decide to go back to it, it's been a while. Whenever that occurs, because it's clearly not at least going to be until after this pay per view.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure if they're gonna end up winning this thing or not, but I like the great word you used here. I like the dichotomy of them against the more pretty boy heel team with the hot manager at ringside. I do like that a lot.
Yeah. I like Matt Taven as a wrestler for the most part. Michael Bennett is whatever. I don't think he's terrible, but
he married well.
Well, it's just to me there's that delicate balance into like he has spent too much time in Japan and then tried to be relevant on ROH TV. And it just doesn't work that way. Like, they've always pushed him as something bigger than, I don't know, maybe he even could be. But now that he's in a tag team, I think he's in a better place.
Yeah, he is in a better place. I don't have the feeling against him that that you do, but he's not great either. And a tag team with a guy who can cover up his weaknesses, that's definitely the place for him.
Yeah, so even those that guy, I've found him more entertaining. And yeah, even though the Kingdom kind of came back together through that weird Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly storyline, I guess I like where they are now, so I'm not arguing too much.
Right, no. The trio is good together, or the foursome is good together. They never should have even teased breaking up.
Well, yeah, like I said, that part was kind of weird. What are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else to bring to the table?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Okie dokie. Well, then for at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, at Stunt Granny, everybody have a good night.